live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 27th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Former President Trump's efforts to create fake electors said to be probed by the Justice Department.
Investors wait for a widely expected 75 basis point hike from the Fed.
Futures jump following earnings from Microsoft and Alphabet.
And President Biden prepares to meet China's Xi Jinping as fresh tensions swirl over Taiwan.
New York Mayor Eric Adams says the era of catch-release repeat for criminals has to end. Plus, no jackpot winner in the Mega Millions lottery. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Mets beat the Yankees 6-3 to start the Subway Series, which ends tonight at Citi Field.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 36 points, Dow futures up 147, and NASDAQ futures up 181. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.78%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.04%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute. It is a busy day with a Fed decision and tech earnings reaction. But first, the Justice Department is taking aim at Donald Trump. A federal grand jury is looking into efforts by the former president to create false electors to overturn the 2020 election. We get details from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Mark Short, who was chief of staff for former Vice President Mike Pence, and Greg Jacob, who was Pence's chief counsel, were asked by federal prosecutors about conversations they had with former President Trump about creating and submitting false elector certificates. This as Trump addressed the America First Summit in D.C.
This November, the people are going to vote to stop the destruction of our country.
Sources tell Bloomberg the nature of the questions before the grand jury indicate the probe has expanded beyond those who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Another major story in Washington, this afternoon's Fed decision. Investors are looking for another rate hike from Jay Powell and Company, and we get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Global Wall Street has priced in a 3/4 percentage point increase in the Fed's benchmark rate. The real question is, what comes next? At the past few meetings, Fed Chair Jay Powell has suggested the Fed would be looking at 50 or 75 basis point moves, comments he's not likely to repeat. Fed officials won't be making new forecasts at this meeting, but there are signs the rate of inflation may be starting to ease. At the same time, the U.S. economy appears to be slowing. Expect Powell in his news conference to try to retain as much flexibility as he can. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. We'll have complete coverage of the Fed decision and Chair Powell's news conference this afternoon in a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance. Special coverage starts on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Turning to stocks now, Karen, we are seeing futures get a pop this morning following some big tech earnings. We begin with Microsoft. Those shares are up more than 3.5% after the company delivered an upbeat sales forecast. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It eases investor concerns about growth that had flared up following a lackluster fourth quarter earnings report. On the conference call, the software giant said it expects revenue and operating income growth at a double-digit pace for fiscal 2023, which ends next June. Earlier, the company reported fourth quarter sales and profit that fell short of analyst projections, held back by unfavorable currency exchange rates and weaker demand for cloud computing services, personal computer software, and advertising on its online properties. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We're also seeing shares of Alphabet on the rise this morning, up 3.4%. The Google parent reported revenue that was in line with expectations. Angelo Zinio is senior equity analyst at CFRA.
There's a clear distinction between companies like, you know, Alphabet and Apple, which are great compounders, great free cash flow generators. Whether you're going in an upturn or a downturn relative to others out there.
And Angelo Zeno at CFRA says Google's sales gains indicate its advertising business may be positioned well to weather a crunch in marketing spending.
It's another busy day for earnings in Europe, Karen, where big banks are in focus. Let's go to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Another new boss, another new turnaround plan. Credit Suisse is replacing its CEO after 2 years in the job and rolling out a new plan to fix the business just 9 months after the last one. This says the Swiss leader posts a larger than expected loss in the second quarter. Happier times over at Italy's UniCredit, though. Profits in the latest 3 months coming in at double the level forecast by analysts. UniCredit shares gaining some 5% this morning. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. We told you yesterday about an SEC investigation centered on Coinbase. Now we're learning that has a big-name investor cutting bait on the crypto company. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Kathy Wood's ARK Investment Management dumps Coinbase shares for the first time this year. ARK's daily trading data compiled by Bloomberg show three of the funds sell just over 1.41 million shares, valued at about $75 million as of yesterday's close. And of that, the firm's flagship ARK Innovation ETF sells 1.12 million shares of Coinbase. Bloomberg sources say Coinbase is facing a U.S. probe into whether it improperly let Americans trade digital assets that should have been registered as securities. Shares of the world's largest U.S. crypto exchange lost about a fifth of their value Tuesday. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning to geopolitics, the U.S. and China are front and center with Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping set for a call tomorrow. Tensions are simmering on a range of fronts, and we get the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The possible Nancy Pelosi trip to Taiwan is number one. This is Speaker Pelosi is being urged by allies and foes alike to make the trip to Taiwan, saying to cancel would look as if she's backing down to China. And then it is smack dab in the middle of the so-called chip bill debate, which is supposed to pass the Senate today, going to the House to be signed by the president by the end of the week. So with that backdrop, how much attention Russia and Ukraine will get is a question, along with human rights. And the administration is now not commenting on whether Mr. Biden has decided on easing tariffs. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Futures are moving higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street, 71 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with an accident southbound on the Major Deegan at 179th. We'll get the latest details in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the era of catch, release, repeat when it comes to criminals has to end. Adams talked about a recent incident at a Harlem subway stop. Video shows a teen punching officers for several minutes at the 125th Street station as police struggled to arrest him. Adams says the teen was arrested a few days ago and was released before the incident.
Just a total disregard for public safety, not only for public safety for that transit officer, but also for the person he robbed. This is what we are saying about what is happening in our criminal justice system.
Earlier this week, NYPD Transit Chief Jason Wilcox says that assaults on his officers have skyrocketed, over a 55% increase this year. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's administration is asking state residents to use less water amid a heat spell and scarce statewide rainfall. Some parts of New Jersey had five straight days of temperatures 100 degrees or higher through Sunday. Officials stopped short of enacting restrictions. The families of the 9/11 victims are letting pro golfers and former President Trump know they are outraged over the LIV Golf Invitational. The Saudi-backed tournament will be hosted at Trump's Bedminster, New Jersey golf course on Friday. Terry Strada is the national chair of 9/11 Families United. She called the pro golfers who are participating sellouts.
And they thought that taking a large sum of money from the kingdom, you know, would give them all of this financial security, and it might do that, but you're selling your soul to the devil when you get in bed with the Saudis.
The U.S. government says there was Saudi involvement in funding the terror network that committed the 9/11 attack. It's a permanent place to remember the late Jackie Robinson. The Brooklyn Dodger who broke the color barrier now has a museum in Soho in his name. Several of Robinson's surviving relatives were in attendance yesterday for the ribbon cutting. The museum officially opens to the public September 5th. A giant Mega Millions lottery jackpot ballooned to over $1 billion after no one matched all six numbers and won the top prize. The next drawing is Friday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Going up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. Sellout crowd at Citi Field. They saw an eventful first inning to start the Subway Series. Yankees and Mets both homered twice. Aaron Judge, number 38, hit it to the opposite field on the next pitch. Anthony Rizzo, his 23rd of the year, also the opposite way. Mets then got a first inning home run from Starling Marte. Mets scored again, then homered again.
Swing and a drive in the air to left. Well hit. Hicks going back. Turns. Watches. It is gone. A two-run homer by Eduardo Escobar into the Citi seats in front of the Great Wall of Flushing beyond the 358 mark. It's a two-run homer for Escobar.
WCBS had it. Mets led the whole night from there. They beat the Yanks 6-3. Taiwan Walker beat Jordan Montgomery, who labored. He got only seven outs before departing. Four-out save for Edwin Diaz is 22nd. The series concludes tonight. Domingo Herman against the Mets' David Peterson. Before the game, the Yankees put Giancarlo Stanton on the injured list. Achilles tendonitis. Braves beat the Phillies to stay two games behind the Mets. The Astros lost in Oakland. They're still two behind the Yanks for best record in the American League. The Blue Jays beat the Cardinals. That's Toronto's seventh win in a row. Baltimore beat Tampa Bay to move over 500, and the Orioles are now ahead of the Red Sox, who dropped to last place. NFL news with the opening of all 32 training camps. Tampa Bay signed veteran wideout Julio Jones, so he's back in the NFC South, a seven-time Pro Bowler while with Atlanta, spent last season at Tennessee. Cincinnati QB Joe Burrow had an appendectomy. He'll miss a couple of weeks. Seattle running back Chris Carson, a two-time 1,000-yard rusher, forced to retire at age 27 due to a neck injury. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures up 34 points, Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures, the tech-heavy side, leading the gains this morning with a 176-point increase. That is a gain of 1.5%. Dan Ives of Wedbush Securities joins us next on The Tech Story. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, upper 80s today. More clouds than sun tomorrow. Some scattered showers and storms possible with a high near 90. A few more showers likely Friday with highs in the upper 80s. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are rallying as a batch of resilient company earnings help to alleviate some of the wider caution in markets ahead of a pivotal Federal Reserve monetary policy decision. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 34 points this morning. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures up 173. And the DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.78%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.04%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%, up 33 cents at $95.29 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, or $3.60 at $17.39.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0142 against the dollar, British pound 1.2069, and the yen 136.57. And looking at Bitcoin, it's up 1.3% at $21,270. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Justice Department is said to be looking into former President Trump's actions as part of its criminal investigation into the January 6th riot. According to a person familiar with the matter, prosecutors have been asking about conversations between Trump and his inner circle. President Joe Biden plans to speak to Chinese President Xi Jinping tomorrow. It's scheduled to take place amid new tensions as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reportedly plans to visit Taiwan. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees 6-3. The Guardians beat the Red Sox 8-3. The Orioles beat the Rays. The Nationals beat the Dodgers. The A's down the Astros. The Giants lost to the Diamondbacks 7-3. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to talk more about the latest tech earnings. We're watching shares of Microsoft in the pre-market still gaining, up about 3.6% in the pre-market after the software giant posted an outlook that suggests it can weather the worst of the economic slowdown. Let's bring in Dan Ives for more on this, senior equity research analyst at Wedbush Securities. Dan, it's always great to speak with you. And it looks like we're seeing kind of a sigh of relief across the tech sector. Is it warranted after Microsoft's results?
Well, it's warranted because cloud, I mean, that's a pillar of enterprise spend. And the best barometer is Microsoft. Street was on pins and needles going into this. Much better than expected. I mean, really not seeing any sort of pushouts in terms of cloud growth, gave strong guidance. And I think it's a Rock of Gibraltar, you know, stock in what's been a dark economic storm. But this is important for what cloud and enterprise spending. Street's going to, you know, really view this as a barometer going forward.
There is still a lot of competition in the cloud, though, isn't there? Does Microsoft have a market share advantage in the cloud?
Yeah, look, Microsoft, along with Amazon, AWS, they continue to dominate cloud. And, of course, Google being number three. And it's really dominated by those three players. But Microsoft, look, they're just in a massive position of strength because this is their backyard. And I think the important data point here is companies, even in a macro like this, they're accelerating the digital transformation. That's front and center as a positive from Microsoft, a tailwind. And obviously in this jittery macro, this is what the street needed, especially given what we've seen over the last few weeks.
This says something about the macro environment, though, doesn't it? When we see Microsoft in its outlook saying that it's going to be leaning more on the cloud side, the commercial spend side, as opposed to the consumer side and PC software. What does that say about the direction of Microsoft going forward?
You know, I think it shows a bifurcated tech market. You're going to continue to see softness, consumer-driven, PC, obviously supply chain issues coming out of China. But what the street cares about front and center for Microsoft is the cloud business. And that's what I view as the core DNA of the growth thesis, and that's what we saw last night. I also think when you're looking at the overall macro, the street, the world, is watching when Microsoft gets guidance. And I think this is – you know, along with, of course, Alphabet, and that's the 1-2 punch that the tech bulls needed in what's been a white-knuckle environment.
Yeah, it was also interesting as well to hear the CEO, Satya Nadella, talking about how the strong dollar has been a headwind for Microsoft this quarter. And despite that, thinking that it's only going to need to cut sales by about 4% for the year on continued dollar strength. What do you make of that?
Yeah, and the dollar strength, especially for the multinationals, that's going to be a headwind. We'll see that from Apple tomorrow as well. But really, that was a well-known headwind. I think, you know, really, Street's trying to understand what core demand looks like. And if you think about many, you know, that have really talked about the nervousness that we're seeing across the macro, enterprises, given balance sheets, given the digital transformation, it's pretty positive. And I think we'll see other data points from Amazon on the AWS side as well. And that's important because that just shows you're going to have a fork in the road in terms of tech. And that's really what you're seeing play out. Microsoft, you know, it's really out cold almost guidance heard around the world.
And speaking of the demand story in our last minute here, I want to ask you a little bit about Alphabet's results as well, coming in stronger than expected on the ad side. Does that ease some of the concerns for you that we got after the less than exciting results from Snap and Twitter on ad spend?
Yeah, and Snapchat, that was a nightmare on Elm Street quarter, and that continues to be a disaster. And I think there were fears that that was going to spread, being that we'd see with Facebook and, of course, with Google. You look at ad dollars better than feared, actually pretty strong in terms of where they came in. It shows you'll see some slowing, but especially with YouTube, some of the golden assets, that's holding up better than feared. You combine that with what we're seeing with Microsoft, you're now starting to have second sort of take in terms of maybe things are not falling off a cliff like some of the, you know, tech bears have kind of talked about. And I think this is an important print, you know, in terms of the broader tech sector.
Always great having you on, Dan. Thanks for coming back on with us. Dan Ives, senior analyst for equity research at Wedbush Securities. Again, looking at shares of Microsoft in the pre-market, they're moving higher by nearly 4% now. after those stronger than expected outlooks from the software giant and cloud player with the Azure cloud service. Looking ahead to the market open more broadly, S&P futures are higher by 32 points. Dow futures up 123, and NASDAQ futures leading the gains. Tech leading the way this morning, up 169 points for a gain of 1.4%. 10-year Treasury's up 4/32, the yield 2.79% ahead of the Federal Reserve's July policy decision. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and highs near 90 today, tomorrow, and the next day. We could see some scattered showers and storms to end the week. Right now it's 71 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers, simple IBKR global trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. First, the FOMC meets in Washington, where the Federal Reserve is expected to issue a 75 basis point rate hike today. Evercore ISI chief equity strategist Julian Emanuel said the Fed risks de-anchoring inflation if it raises rates today and then cuts them in the future.
Part of the dynamic in markets is that we've all Pavlovian trained to expect stocks to rally when the Fed cuts rates. To the extent that we take that away, you're actually doing a service.
Evercore's Julian Emanuel said the Fed should tame inflation while keeping the market fundamentally sound. Tune into a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance today for complete coverage of the Fed starting at 1:30 Wall Street time.
All right, back to markets. Karen, futures are moving higher after earnings from Microsoft and Alphabet. Today we hear from Meta, the parent of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The bar for Meta platforms is set low. The social media giant recently slowed the pace of hiring, and there are some general concerns about the era of social media dominance. Meta is dealing with a number of headwinds, not the least of which is the privacy change by Apple that complicates ad targeting at a time when the risk of recession could weigh on e-commerce spending. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We told you yesterday about an SEC investigation centered on Coinbase. Now we're learning a big-name investor is cutting bait. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Kathy Wood's ARK Investment Management dumps Coinbase shares for the first time this year. ARK's daily trading data compiled by Bloomberg show three of the funds sell just over 1.41 million shares, valued at about $75 million as of yesterday's close. And of that, the firm's flagship ARK Innovation ETF sells 1.12 million shares of Coinbase. Bloomberg sources say Coinbase is facing a U.S. probe into whether it improperly let Americans trade digital assets that should have been registered as securities. Coinbase shares lost about a fifth of their value Tuesday. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. And a quick politics note, a federal grand jury is looking into efforts by former President Trump to create false electors to overturn the 2020 election. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 71 degrees in Central Park, dealing with a crash on the Belt Parkway eastbound approaching Flatbush Avenue. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the teen shown in a video punching police at a Harlem subway stop was arrested for robbery as well, but was released just days before. Adams says the era of catch, release, repeat for criminals has to stop.
Robbery is a violent crime. So as soon as we catch them, the system releases them, and they repeat the action. That is just, you know, that's when I say we're the laughing stock of the country, this is what I'm talking about.
Earlier this week, NYPD Transit Chief Jason Wilcox says that assaults on his officers have skyrocketed, over a 55% increase this year. Governor Phil Murphy's administration asked New Jerseyans to use less water amid a heat spell and scarce statewide rainfall. Some parts of New Jersey, including the state's most populous city, Newark, had recorded five straight days of temperatures 100 degrees or higher through Sunday. InfoWars host Alex Jones, who claimed that the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, was a hoax, was at a Texas courthouse to defend his actions in a $150 million lawsuit by the parents of one of the children killed. Jones spoke about the court.
This is a witch hunt. This is a show trial. This will go down in history as one of the greatest show trials ever to happen, not just here, but even in places like Nazi Germany.
Jones now acknowledges the Sandy Hook massacre that left 20 children and six adults dead really happened, but he insists he's not responsible for the harassment that Sandy Hook parents say they endured by his followers as a result of his hoax conspiracy claims that he pushed on his program. Ukrainian troops have struck a strategic bridge essential for Moscow to supply its forces occupying the country's south. Officials said the bridge remained standing, but its surface was pierced with holes, forcing a halt to traffic. With summer travel underway, the CDC is recommending more hand washing and using hand sanitizer as monkeypox cases rise. Reported cases in the U.S. jumped to nearly 33% in the last 4 days. Your dreams are still alive.
Tuesday, July 26th, and tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is an estimated annuitized $830 million.
A giant Mega Millions lottery jackpot ballooned to over $1 billion now after no one last night matched all six numbers and won the top prize. The next drawing is Friday. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
See you in line, Michael. Thank you. .636 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
All right, Nathan. The Mets' 60th win of the year. They beat the Yankees 6-3 to start the Subway Series in Citi Field. Citi Field, good start for the Yankees. Back-to-back home runs first inning. Aaron Judge, then Anthony Rizzo. Consecutive pitches both hit the opposite way. 38th of the year for Judge. But the Mets, with two homers of their own in the bottom of the first, Starling Marte, then Eduardo Escobar. Taiwan Walker settled down. Worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the fourth. Walker got the win. Was then asked about pitching before a loud sellout crowd.
It was electric. I gave up two home runs, and I was like, man, it's not off to a good start here. But, you know, we answered back. The offense was really good. They answered back with four runs in the first, and after that, my job was just to get shutdown innings, and I was able to do that.
Edwin Diaz got the save. Jordan Montgomery took the loss. He was not happy when Aaron Boone took him out with just one out in the third inning. Another sellout crowd tonight. The series ends. It's Domingo Germán versus David Peterson. The Yanks going to be without Giancarlo Stanton for a couple of weeks. Achilles tendonitis. Braves beat the Phillies. Atlanta's two games behind the Mets. Astros still two back of the Yankees for best record in the American League as Houston lost a second straight in Oakland. Toronto's seventh win in a row beat St. Louis. The Cardinals were without their two best hitters, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. They're not allowed into Toronto. They're both unvaccinated. Baltimore beat Tampa Bay, moved over 500, moved ahead of the Red Sox, who are now in last place. Jets training camp underway, and good news on a key player, tackle Mekhi Becton. He came in having noticeably lost a considerable amount of weight. Becton injured almost all of last season and was said to be out of shape during the offseason. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta on a morning where tech is leading the way. Is Microsoft what a sigh of relief looks like, Kriti?
It kind of seems like it. And I would tell you, Alphabet is as well. We'll start with Microsoft shares, though. They're up 3.8%. MSFT is your ticker. Google or Alphabet shares are up as well to the tune of about 3.4%. GOOG is your ticker there. You know, Nathan, what's so crucial here is I think going into these earnings, there's kind of this doom and gloom approach to it almost that, if you know, if big tech doesn't hold up, then what chance do any of these other companies in the S&P 500 have? But not only did they hold up, they said, well, you know what? We are resilient. I think that's crucial here. A lot of the ad slowdown that we saw in Snapchat and Twitter, well, when it came to Alphabet, it did still hit them. It hit them in their YouTube business, their ad business there, but it didn't hit them in their search business. Now, remember, this is what makes Alphabet so unique. They are a little bit more diversified when it comes to that kind of ad revenue business. Remember, Alphabet also has a kind of budding business in cloud, something that Amazon really dominates. Microsoft is number two there, but Alphabet is growing on that front as well. From the Microsoft side, they actually said that business investment is actually booming. So remember, we're in the middle of this massive cloud revolution. A big chunk of Microsoft's bottom line comes from their cloud business, Azure. So when you're saying that a lot of businesses who, by the way, have now adapted to remote work, for example, are now shifting to the cloud, they're likely using either Amazon Web Services or Azure. And Microsoft is saying, well, that's actually a really good thing. So both companies actually coming in and beating some of those estimates, which is good news at a time when everyone is saying recession is on the horizon, things aren't looking good.
Yeah, and speaking of resilient, Creedy, is that what we can say about McDonald's after their results?
You know, we should, right? In theory, you would think that they would come out and actually have a better morning than they are. But McDonald's is interesting because, yes, they came out with some strong earnings as well yesterday. But Deutsche Bank actually came out and downgraded it to a hold from a buy. MCD's, your ticker, is down about 0.2%. But keep an eye on this. Their argument over at Deutsche Bank is that inflationary pressures will limit any further upside. So, yes, that was a good set of earnings. Is it going to stay there is the question, especially because McDonald's does kind of target a lower-end consumer, and they're the most afflicted by inflation, just given kind of the wealth demographic there. So that's certainly something to watch. The currency story, though, for McDonald's was actually interesting, that even if you did take in some of the currency conversions, remember over 60% of their revenue comes from abroad, they actually still did pretty well, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta keeping us on top of the pre-market story. And as we check stocks as a whole, ahead of the open and ahead of a Fed decision, futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 34 points, Dow futures up 135. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 175 points. 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds now for a yield 2.79%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine and a high in the upper 80s today. We'll get near 90 tomorrow with some scattered showers and storms possible. We'll keep the storm threat in the forecast Friday as well with highs in the upper 80s once again. 71 currently.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green, helped by earnings from Microsoft and Google. Dow futures currently up 133 points. S&P's gained 35, while NASDAQ futures are up by 178. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.79%. Gold is up 5. Oil is in the green. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.5%. Hong Kong fell 1.1% overnight, while European markets are in the green this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders at 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. After the bell last night, Microsoft gave an upbeat 2023 sales growth forecast, and Google reported it is trading higher by 3.5% pre-market. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Humana EPS beat estimates and look for Boeing to report in the pre-market. In other news, Elliott is said to amass a PayPal stake, and wrapping things up, McDonald's was cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And taking a look at currencies this morning, the euro at 1.0151 against the dollar, British pound 1.2061, the yen at 136.71. And we're watching Bitcoin, as always, up 1.5% at $21,300. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Justice Department is said to be investigating efforts by former President Donald Trump and his inner circle to create false electors and pressure former Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the 2020 election. According to a person familiar with the matter, Pence's former chief of staff, Mark Short, and Greg Jacob, Pence's then chief counsel, appeared before a grand jury in recent days. WNBA star Brittany Griner will testify today in her drug trial in Russia. She could get 10 years in prison if convicted. So you're saying I still have a chance. The giant Mega Millions lottery jackpot ballooned to over $1 billion after no one last night matched all six numbers and won the top prize. The next drawing is Friday. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees 6-3. The Guardians beat the Red Sox. The Orioles beat the Rays. The Nationals beat the Dodgers. The A's down the Astros. The Giants lost to the Diamondbacks. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet the demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Asia, a district on the outskirts of Wuhan has been locked down, affecting around 1 million people. It's the first time the Chinese city, which saw the world's first lockdown, has faced new restrictions for 2 years. Authorities gave the order after 4 asymptomatic cases were found in the area. New research shows napping, as well as sleeping too much or too little, or having poor sleep patterns, appears to increase the risk for cardiovascular disease in older adults. The study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association adds to a growing body of evidence supporting sleep's importance to good health. The American Heart Association recently added sleep duration to its checklist of health and lifestyle factors for cardiovascular health, known as Life's Essential 8. It says adults should average 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And the space jacket worn by Buzz Aldrin while flying to the moon is reported to have sold at auction for $2.8 million. Aldrin wore the white jacket for the majority of the 6-day space journey in 1969. It becomes the most valuable American space artifact ever sold at auction. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Yeah, it's a heck of a jacket. Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street, and it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include former President Donald Trump, now part of the Justice Department investigation into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. President Biden set to speak tomorrow with China's Xi Jinping, and Schumer telling donors a tech antitrust measure is unlikely to pass. Let's bring back Terry Haynes from all these stories, the founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, great to speak with you again. So how much importance do you put on these reports that the Justice Department now potentially has former President Donald Trump in its sights?
Good morning, Nathan. I would caution folks that against overreaction. I think there's very little new here. And, you know, and I think it's easy to sort of slide back into kind of Mueller era, thinking there's more going on here than there really is. It's entirely responsible for the Justice Department to be investigating this stuff, of course. But at the same time, it's taken them a year and a half to get to it. And, you know, I wonder how much is here at root. So, you know, it bears watching. But I think it in the end, it's just another part of this investigation that's been going on for quite some time. And, you know, judging by past reactions, it's unlikely to yield something clean or large. But again, we'll see what they have.
Of course, this is coming as the former president is hinting that he may run for president again in 2024. Is there a nexus there?
Well, yeah, it's been... There is a political nexus there, certainly. I mean, my own view of this is that the Democrats, both in Congress and the Justice Department, have slow walked this thing for quite a while. You know, it took Congress less time to come to conclusions on how Pearl Harbor happened than it's taken folks to figure out what's gone on after January 6th. And, you know, they and, you know, I think the country at large would be a lot better off if this had been speeded up, if the investigation had been made as bipartisan as possible, and if the Justice Department actually sort of delved into this much more in real time. Politically, Democrats, I think, forfeit the opportunity to bring consensus around a lot of these issues. So it has the potential to backfire on them in the midterms.
Do you think this investigation gets wrapped up either by the Justice Department or by the January 6th committee before the midterms?
Well, I think the January 6th committee would like to put a bow on whatever it is that they're doing before the midterms, but they might not. I mean, things may continue on. They have a pattern of saying, you know, more to come, more to come, more to come. But at the same time, Congress ends at the, effectively at the end of the calendar year, so they'd better wrap up. Justice, now that they're working with a grand jury, frankly, that'll take some time. And they can continue to present evidence before a grand jury, but there's not going to be an arbitrary end to that grand jury. So I tend to think that might take much longer. That's been the pattern with Justice Departments past and present, and that's likely to continue.
And we're expecting President Biden to get that long-awaited phone call between him and Chinese President Xi Jinping coming up tomorrow. Now, this is coming at a particularly tense time in U.S.-China relations. What are you watching for there, Terry?
I'm watching sort of beyond the whole kerfuffle about Pelosi. I'm watching really two things. One is just how the Chinese readout proceeds. In other words, the Chinese and the Americans both have their own readouts of these things, and there's frequently holes between them that provide some illumination. And the Chinese readout, of course, will be one thing, and that'll be kind of resolute on Taiwan and the One China solution and all the rest. The more interesting part of this to me is to see how the American side clarifies its own Taiwan policy, firstly, because that's been kind of raggedly rolled out, and there's a little bit of context around the potential Pelosi visit there as well. But also for markets, I wouldn't look for too much or really anything substantial on tariffs. The White House continues to say that the president's making up his mind, although they've been talking about this for a year and a half, and any adjustments are not going to be particularly large. Do not look for any particular breakthrough here.
What's your expectation on where the president could go on tariffs, given that we aren't expecting much to be discussed there on that front? We got about a minute left here.
Yeah, I just, they'll talk about some adjustments. They've been talking about adjustments for quite a while. But this is bureaucratic tinkering on one level, and on the other level, it's a fight inside the administration about whether overhauling tariff policy makes any difference either to the broader United States-China relationship or whether it makes any difference to markets. There's a faction that wants to talk about tariff adjustments as part of an inflationary response, but the other half says, look, I mean, they're only small to begin with, and it's not going to make any immediate impact upon average citizens, so why even bother?
Thanks, Terry. Thanks again for being with us. Terry Haynes is the founder of Pangea Policy. You can read more about all these stories out of the nation's capital on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Of course, the other big event coming out of Washington this afternoon, a July policy decision from the Federal Reserve. We have special coverage coming up in a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance that begins at 1:30 this afternoon Wall Street time, ahead of the Fed decision at 2 p.m. Bloomberg Surveillance, the morning edition, begins next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. And this is Bloomberg.